Hello and welcome again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you, not in part, but in full, by the Wash and Word hand car washing business. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we started this hand car washing business here in Churchill. We're on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center, and we started this business as a means for income. We believe that we should continue to work with our hands, work hard to support not only ourselves and our family, but also to support the ministry. We believe that the Word of God should be settled and not peddled. So we never present these messages to you and ask for money. We simply say, if you want to support this ministry, if you believe that verse by verse Bible teaching is so needed in the society that we live in today, which we firmly believe, then simply support us by coming by the Wash and Word, getting your car washed. You know, you can give a little extra as a tip. All extra money goes back into the ministry. You know what? Even if you just come by and say, we appreciate what you're doing there. You know, we're on board with it. You don't even have to get your car washed. Just come by and encourage us. You know, this is a unique ministry, and we just feel that the world has enough churches. There are a lot of churches out there. Most of them good, some of them a little off, but the world doesn't need more churches. The world needs more of the Word of God, and it needs it to be expounded upon in its entirety, not pick and choose like a buffet. We teach verse by verse because we believe that this is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that the world is about to throw at the Christian faith. And friends, we need to be as prepared as possible because we firmly believe that God is raising up an army of true believers who adhere to 100% of God's word at all times, despite what the world and society might be saying. So let us get back and finish chapter one here in the book of Jonah. We encourage you to go back and look and listen to the last messages of chapter one. There's got to be at least four or five of them now. We're really dissecting this chapter because there's three different ways we're looking at it. We've already looked at it through the eyes of the sailors. We already read chapter one. We looked at it through the eyes of the sailors. We then looked at it through the eyes of Jonah. And now we're in the middle of and prayerfully going to finish looking at this chapter through the eyes of God. And you can get these messages by going to the washandword.com website. That's washed, letter N, word.com. And there we have all of our archive messages, free to listen to, free to download. You can also come by the Wash and Word parking lot, and at any time, flip your radio to 107.1 FM. We play the weekly messages on a loop. And the weekly messages are originally aired on WMCH 1260 AM at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Now, getting back to looking at this, our third and final way, and that again is through the eyes of God, we already looked at the application point that God always sends the perfect storm. That is, He knows exactly what we need to get us to change our hearts and our attitudes. The second application point is that God uses the world to accomplish His word. And this is where we left off yesterday, that God used the world to accomplish what He was trying to do. And in this case, it was this heathen, Baal-worshipping Phoenician sailor to wake up the sleeping man of God. And oftentimes, God will use things of the world to get the attention of His children. And when He does that, it's a borderline embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us. Like sometimes we'll see a worldly person remind us of something that we know to be godly, and we think to ourselves that should have been us reminding them. But God does this on purpose. A lot of times He does it in both ways. Sometimes He'll use the wisdom of man to look foolishness when we look at it through the eyes of the Bible, and sometimes vice versa, as we see here in Jonah. You know, Jonah must have felt a little sheepish being woken up and set straight, as it were, by this heathen non-believer. And well, that's just goes back to saying that God will always accomplish His word, and sometimes He uses the world to do it. And then thirdly, we're going to look at this through the eyes of God of chapter one. We see that when it comes to prayer, listen, this is important. God wants your hearts not your smarts. When it comes to prayer, God wants your hearts, not your smarts. We see this in verse 14. It says, "Then they cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased.'" Now, between the storm and the solution that Jonah offered, and the boat literally falling apart, and their gods being virtually silent, these sailors have cried out from their hearts. You know, all of these circumstances between, like I said, the storm and Jonah being offered to be thrown all overboard, the boat falling apart, their gods being silent, it has forced them to look deep into their hearts, to the part where God wants our prayers to be originated from. It is in the heart of our hearts that God is saying, "This is where I want you to communicate with me." And I can't tell you how many times I've heard prayers go up, and you can see the intellect in the prayer. You may be guilty of doing that yourself. I know I am at times, where we're using our minds to formulate and make an intellectual prayer that sounds so smart. God is not interested in your smarts. He's interested in your hearts. And also, how many times have you heard someone say that God doesn't listen to or answer the prayers of the wicked, unrepentful sinner? That God only hears the prayers of his children. But duh, listen, every saint that prayed from a heathen prayer that they wanted to be saved, God heard that prayer and offered them the salvation of Jesus. In other words, we have to pray from a heathen sinner's perspective at some point in our life, and God has to hear that prayer if we're ever even to be saved. So not only did God accept their heartfelt prayer, but he honored it. And he honored it by offering and granting salvation to them. We see this in verse 16. "At this time, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him." We could only assume that God was pleased and accepted their sacrifice and their vows. You know, the best advice I ever got when it comes to prayer was to simply speak to God from my heart. And oftentimes that just means sitting silently and waiting for the Spirit to give us the words to say. And why does God want us to speak this way to him? Because he knows our needs. He knows what angers us. He knows what struggles we have. He knows what our pious hearts are thinking. And to have this pious and wordy and scripted prayer, you know, that's best reserved for Orthodox religions and Pharisees. Now, I tell you, friends, when it comes to prayer, to wait on the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to form a prayer within your heart, and then offer that up to the Lord. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we even ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit will give us the things to say, if only we will take the time to listen." And these sailors, they prayed from the heart. And it was like the heart of an infant in the way that it was a brand new experience. And God knew that they meant every word of this prayer. And so not only does God always send the perfect storm, not only does God use the world to accomplish his word, or not only that when it comes to prayer, God wants your hearts and not your smarts, but fourthly, our protection is often overshadowed by our rejection. Our protection is often overshadowed by our rejection. Look at verse 17. It says, "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights." You know, many times we perceive, or that which we perceive as harmful or misfortunate or some kind of trial, is actually our salvation or our help or our protection. Think about this. Picture Jonah bobbing in the sea, thinking to himself, how in the world can this be any worse? Here I am, gonna die in the middle of the sea. This is horrible. He's thinking to himself, I'm at the bottom of my barrel. I'm at the bottom of the pit. This is the worst possible thing that could be happening to me. And then all of a sudden he sees something. He's like, wait, what is that? Holy smoke, is that? And then just like that, he's swallowed by a whale. But the truth is that this whale didn't add on to Jonah's misery. It saved Jonah from what would have ultimately and most assuredly been a watery death. Again, our protection is often overshadowed by our rejection. What was met with opposition and dread and pessimism was God's great plan of protection. He was saved by that whale, not compounded by it. You know, many people during 9/11 were late to work that day, and they survived because they weren't there, but they were upset that they were late. But in hindsight, they realized that this was really the best thing that could have happened to them that day. And we see in verse 17, it says that the Lord provided a great fish. Other translations says the Lord prepared or appointed. We see other translations saying prepared or appointed or arranged or assigned. Are these words of chance happening, of a pre-planned wrath? Are these words that represent a vengeful act of God? No. And there's no way that Jonah could have seen this as a godsend. Yet time, especially time spent in a trial, has a way of opening and softening our hearts, doesn't it? We'll see this next week when we look at chapter 2. And what seems like the walls are coming down around Jonah, God is watching and providing, and he is helping. One of the tribes of Native Americans had a unique practice for training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods by himself all night long. And every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. And every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it had masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for a young man. And after what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered into the interior of the forest, and looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees and an outline of a path, and then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father, and he had been there all night long. What an amazing story of how protection is there at all times. And today, maybe you find yourself in the belly of a fish. To some extent, maybe you feel like the spewed out, regurgitated version of Jonah, having just gone through some bile of this world system. I want you to know that God is for you, and there are some things that God cannot do. He cannot lie, he cannot die, and he cannot stop loving you, and he cannot have anything other than your best interest in mind always. In Jonah chapter 1, we see almost every possible scenario we could be going through. Being used by God, being called by God, running from God, amongst unbelievers, asleep to God's calling, woe is me mentality, embarrassed by heathens, acting more like Jesus than you are, finding yourself in the middle of the sea with no end in sight, or wrapped in the center of God's great protection and can see nothing of its grace while in it. But one common denominator is that God is there every step of that road. You cannot escape him. And friends, if you do not know Jesus today, God has been there all along, like the young brave's father, with a bow and arrow, just waiting to protect you and spill his love onto you. Friends, in the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, nothing external to you has any power over you. I pray that these messages are blessing you, and if they are, come by the Wash and Word and let us know. We really appreciate the encouragement. We're there to wash your car. And again, if you have any questions about this business or this ministry, just go to the washandword.com website. That's washed, the letter N, word.com. You have a blessed day.